Everything Old is New Again, America's entertainment pop culture talk show.
It may well possess a rudimentary intelligence.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
Felt a great disturbance in the force.
Hello, I'm Mr. Red.
Come on, Mark, like a job for me.
Where's the goodies?
Leave the gun. Take the cannoli.
I bet you wouldn't have done anything like this if Mom and Dad were here.
You filthy criminal.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Here are your hosts, Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
Whatever's in there has been safely hidden for 2,000 years.
The hieroglyphs said she was named Amenet, chosen to be Egypt's next queen. But her thirst for power led her down a darker path, one that had to be stopped.
Because of your actions, this ancient power has returned.
Welcome to Everything Old is New Again. This is Douglas Viviani with Imhotep himself, David Cohen.
I have no idea what that means.
Perfect. That's actually good, because what that means, or what that is the name, the actual name of the mummy.
Is that what we just heard?
And that's what we heard, a little piece of the coming attractions to the movie that was released recently, the Tom Cruise Mummy 2017, which is part of the Universal Dark Universe. Have you ever even heard of that?
No.
All right. So Universal, let's just like a look at what that's all about. The Universal Pictures is the studio that did Abbott Costello Meet Frankenstein, and before that did and created all of these monsters, you know, the Mummy, Dracula, so Frankenstein, all
the original monsters that we grew up with.
Correct.
The basic monsters.
Exactly.
Okay.
The original, and these are the original monsters, really, of literature as well, back in the late 1800s, early 1900s.
Sure.
So, with the success of the franchises like Marvel and DC's movies, Universal, the creators of the movie franchise itself, I mean, they did franchises with these monsters, of course, in the past, with sequels and sequels, right? Which is what a franchise is.
Yes.
That makes sense. They hold some of what I think is the greatest intellectual properties of all time, and they've decided to enter into the fray and to try to reimagine the monster movie franchise.
Reimagine
it with the power of showing the mummy. It really was
an odd one to start with.
It was an odd one, and it was kind of a poor showing. Although I watched the movie, it was pretty good.
Like, why wouldn't you start with Frankenstein or Dracula? Wouldn't that be the obvious choice to start the franchise with?
Yes,
it's almost like you're going to the bench. You're starting like, you know, one of your B team players. Like if Marvel started with, you know,
Ant-Man,
right?
Right,
it's kind of weird.
True, but I think there's a reason for that. We'll find out why they did that. And
there must be a reason. I just don't think it's a good one. But okay.
The bottom line is that, you know, you got the Avengers, you got Justice League, you got James Bond, even all these movie franchises. So Universal finally woke up, which I think they've been issuing the rights to Dracula and all these movies for the last umpteen years, at least. I mean, we've investigated the recent release of Dracula 2 years ago, and
right.
There's been so many releases of all of these movies, not so good.
Right.
So Universal finally hired one person named Alex Kurtzman, and they said to him, listen, we want you to reimagine the entire franchise and create a dark, or maybe he came up with the idea of the dark universe.
So in other words, they're going to restart all of these monster movies again.
Correct.
Okay.
And let's just get an idea of who Alex Kurtzman is. The reason why I like him so much is he was involved with the first two Star Trek movies, the J.J. Abrams movies.
Hence the Star Trek reference.
Here's our Star Trek reference. Good. He also did, I'm going to throw this at you, originally started out with the Legend of Zorro. He co-wrote that. He did Mission Impossible 2. He co-wrote with J.J. Abrams. Again, he did the Star Trek first movie. He co-wrote that. He did Star Trek Into Darkness. He co-wrote that. Amazing Spider-Man 2, which was a pretty good one.
Sure.
He co-wrote that
All right, so they got a pretty good guy.
He got a good guy. And in television, just for the heck of it, he did Fringe, Hawaii Five-0, Sleepy Hollow, Scorpion, and he's involved with the new Star Trek Discovery as well.
Okay, so the pressure's on.
Pressure's on this guy. And after The Mummy, which was released, they are then going to follow that up with The Bride of Frankenstein, then The Invisible Man, then they're going to do Wolfman, then Dracula, then Van Helsing, which is going to be a Frankenstein Dracula story, then Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, then The Phantom of the Opera, and The Preacher from the Black Lagoon, and The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
How do you like that?
And then it's they're all going to be interwoven together. If you saw the Mummy, you will see a character that is Russell Crowe acting out Dr. Jekyll. And he is in charge, we'll learn, of this of a group that is investigating these monsters. And all these monsters live at the same time. They call it a time of gods and monsters. And they're trying to sort of be like Nick Fury, try to be...
Oh, so they're putting together like an Avengers of the monsters?
I don't know.
Dracula and Frankenstein?
Yes,
and all that.
Yes, eventually, yes. Because there's going to be a team to track down monsters and subdue them. I don't know which monster's going to be on the team, which one's going to be going after other monsters. I don't know the combination. You might get Dracula and Frankenstein going against the Mummy to subdue the Mummy, something like that. But I think it's a very interesting concept. And later in the show, we're going to discuss maybe putting the team of the Dark Universe monsters against the Avengers, and we'll debate who would win in a battle royale.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't sound interesting. I think if you're a listener of Everything Old Is New Again, that's an interesting topic. First, let's listen to Kurtzman himself talk about why he even got involved with this. What's it all about? You know, what's the point of this?
Yeah.
Alex, what do you say?
I think for me, the thing that defines the Universal Monsters as its own genre is that you fear the monster and you fear for the monster. Those original monster films were character films. They were played by movie stars who imbued those monsters with a heartbreak and an agony and a pathos and an emotion that I think is so specific to the Universal Monsters.
So does that make sense? He's talking about these monsters. We spoke about this in the past, how Frankenstein's really,
Sure. Why isn't this on TV? Why is this coming out in the theaters? Because it seems to me that TV would be the perfect venue for this.
You mean a TV series or a TV movie?
Yeah.
I see what you're saying, an entire series like they're doing with Gotham or something, including
Or the Defenders that Netflix is doing with those characters, where you sort of build up a series for each character and you put them all together at the end.
That's a great idea. Maybe it didn't have the gravitas for them or something of that nature. I don't know. It's actually a great idea to have more... ability to
People
explore
would,
this.
Yeah, I think so. But anyway, okay, so they're
it's
doing the movies.
It's actually a great idea. You should submit that. let's listen to Alex Kurtzman talk about the scene that we've talked about a number of times about that girl with Frankenstein and how he gets along with that girl and she's floating little petals of flowers in the water.
And then he kills her.
And inadvertently by thinking that she'll float. Right. Let's hear what he says about that.
I think that there was a particular scene for me as a kid that struck me from Frankenstein, and it's the scene with Frankenstein at the water with the girl. What struck me about that scene is that he so desperately wanted to connect to a human being and to be appreciated and to be loved, and in his desire to connect didn't realize he was destroying the very thing that he wanted to connect with. And that to me symbolizes what the monsters are about.
No, you're hurting me! No!
Oh, that's chilling if you watch that, no? That scene?
Oh, yeah, it's terrible.
So this is odd. Great minds think alike, right? Because you and I investigated that scene years ago talking about Frankenstein, and recently in our Halloween show and so forth, and he's on the same wavelength, saying how torn this character is,
right.
He just can't get the eye. He loves something finally, and he kills it by mistake.
If he's thinking like we're thinking, he is bound for success.
There you go. And, well, let me ask you a question. Would you change the look of any of these monsters or keep them the same with Frankenstein with the bolts coming out of his neck and all of that, Dracula with the fangs and the...
I think it might be time for a new look, don't you?
I think you're wrong.
Really?
Yeah. Did you ever see the Robert De Niro presentation of Frankenstein on television back in the late 70s, early 80s?
I did not.
And that's the reason why. They changed... This is Robert De Niro doing Frankenstein. He was the monster, and they changed his look, and it just destroyed it, and I think Alex is...
We started different designs and playing around with them and saying, well, what if we remove this, and what if we add that? And it became incredibly clear, almost instantaneously, that we must not touch these monsters. If you start messing those things up, you are actually fundamentally betraying what everybody loves about them.
Now, do you agree? You're saying... I cut you off, so sorry about that.
No, I don't think you need to drastically... You know, as they keep saying, and I hate this phrase, reimagining it,
right.
But you can change it. You can modernize it a little bit. Like, you know what I mean? You can make him, I think, scarier maybe than he was originally in a different way.
Well, maybe they could perfect it. Maybe is that what you're trying to,
make it make it more real. You know, make it like, what would a dead guy look like? You know what I mean? I think that's pretty scary.
True, but if you ask a kid to draw Frankenstein, they would draw the old classic. We'll come back and argue this, and Everything Old Is New Again. We have the arguments we love to have. All right, 2 minutes here for the podcasters. That was a ton that we threw at everybody. We'll ease up a little bit and a little less clips and more discussion as the show goes along. But
it was really no discussion there.
The big, long introduction. I just wanted to get everybody on board. It's a big topic. It's a lot to talk about. But your position is what?
You mean about
the entire Dark Universe?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a complete waste of time. That's my take on it. I don't think it's going to go over very well. That's it. And
they've hired some big names. We'll get into this, you know, the next time, the next section. But they've hired some big names to get involved.
Right.
They seem to be characters that if you're an actor, you really want to get involved because it's not just a monster like Friday the 13th or Jason or whatever. We're just killing people with almost no motivation, you know?
Right.
To me,
it's just, it's another reboot of a franchise we've seen millions of times and they all fail. And there's no reason why this one would be successful. So maybe I'm a bit of a pessimist. I'd like to see a good, you know, Frankenstein remake, I guess. But they're going to do something to mess it up.
Should we ask the characters themselves in our fourth section of this show whether this is a good idea to unearth them or not?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. If we could pull that off, that would be
another opportunity
amazing.
For the power of radio to overtake us. And
you mean like Robert De Niro, like as
good
Frankenstein,
question.
Asking him?
That's a good question. Or if the Frankenstein monster himself.
You're going to do that? You're going to ask him?
Right. We'll see. You're going to have to stay tuned. Everything old is new again.
You're listening to Everything Old is New Again, America's entertainment pop culture talk show with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
Oh, it's alive. It's alive. It's alive. It's alive.
When this dead hand moves, the monster created by a man they called Mad is turned loose to strike terror into the hearts of men, to shock women into uncontrolled hysteria.
Elizabeth!
To prey upon the innocence of children. This is the story you've heard about, talked about, the spine-tingling, blood-chilling story that stunned your emotions. Frankenstein!
Everything Old is New Again, examining the Universal's Dark Universe. And that was the original trailer of the 1931 Frankenstein. And you heard the lady screaming there, the girls screaming, What did they say? That made the women scream for panic or whatever?
Yeah, why is it just women?
I was going to say, that would be me. If Frankenstein's knocking down my door, that would be my sound.
Yeah. I could see that octave going up several notches.
Exactly. Anyway, back to talking about just the crossover now, the Mummy itself, what they did, Universal's reimagining all of these, and they've created a situation where there was a crossover in the Mummy movie with Dr. Jekyll being in the movie. Let's listen, just listen to him, and then we'll describe why is he in the movie and what's it all about combining these characters in the movie already.
My name is Jekyll, Dr. Henry Jekyll.
The central character behind all the events of the movie is Dr. Henry Jekyll, famous for being Jekyll and Hyde.
Dr. Jekyll operates a thing called Prodigium. And Prodigium essentially is an organization that pinpoints evil and tries to neutralize it.
We recognize, examine, contain, destroy evil.
Good. Well, there you go. It's a little something from the original, or you should say the Mummy, the first movie. I'm not saying the original, but it's the first movie in this dark universe that just came out last summer with Tom Cruise.
Right.
And I thought it was a great attempt. It was production value was great. It had a lot going for it, but people didn't really get involved. And my question to you is, before we get into this business of the Presidium and what Dr. Jekyll is, what's your position on going in? Would you see, did you see, do you want to see any of these movies, including The Mummy, which has already come out?
Well, I would wait to, like I did this time, wait to see what the reviews were, which apparently weren't great. And then I decided, no, I will not see it.
Now, let's say Saturday afternoon is raining. You have nothing else on. Will you watch it?
No, there's like got to be something else on.
See that?
There's got to be something else
on. I definitely would dive in to see what's going on. And I think it's interesting. The more you open this world up and you see that Dr. Jekyll is involved, and he runs an organization called the Presidium, which is an organization to hunt down and protect the world against these gods and monsters. I think it's kind of an interesting concept.
But yes, it is. But if it's not a great movie, there's so many other viewing choices right now. And I'm not just talking in the theaters, but on TV, where I don't have to leave my house to be entertained. I'm not going to leave my house to go to a theater to see a movie that didn't get great reviews.
True. But I would counter that and say, have the argument you love to have, that say, listen, it was a good movie. It was not great. It was a pretty good movie. A good, solid movie. I think the dichotomy is that I don't know that Tom Cruise right now is carrying the gravitas he used to bring people into the theater. I don't know.
Unless it's an action movie.
But it is. There's a lot of action.
But I mean, you know, the normal Tom Cruise action hero movie.
Right. And further, I don't know if we should go there. I don't think it was a problem to have a female as the mummy itself and as the villain. I think it was actually chilling. But I don't know if that had an effect on it. I don't know, because people think of the mummy, they think of Boris
Karloff. But you're interested because you grew up with these monsters, so you want to check it out. Even if the reviews were bad, I'm sure you would have gone to see it anyway. But the average viewer right now, especially younger viewers, if they don't see the movie got a good review, they're not going to check it out. They have no history with it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Although now I think this generation, all of us in some ways, but especially this generation, if the second and third movies start to gain some speed and start to be, you know, something to talk about, they're going to go back and look at, say, well, let me see the beginning and let me look at The Mummy.
Yeah, I agree.
So the next movie is going to be The Bride of Frankenstein, and I think if done well, garner attention.
So the next movie is it's not Frankenstein, it's a Bride of Frankenstein?
Yes, yes. I'm sure they'll bring along the Frankenstein story, but they'll probably condense it and condense, let's say, the two movies we know into one.
Yeah, that's
if that makes sense. And so let's look at, because I think they think that the Bride of Frankenstein, the bride herself, is a very interesting character. It was never developed, really.
Sure,
you saw her in the movies, she screamed, and that was the end of the movie.
And then she was gone.
Yeah, yeah, so I think that's a good idea. Now, the question is, if this is going to work and there's an organization of monsters or organization to get monsters, how are they going to do it? How are you going to track down monsters and destroy monsters? Let's hear what Alex Kurtzman has to say about that.
It takes a monster to defeat a monster.
Actually, that was Russell Crowe from the movie itself talking about that. The creator of all of this, the reimagining, is Alex Kurtzman. He talks about, this is what I was going to get to here, is will they be a team? Will these monsters eventually team up together?
The threat could come from within Prodigium. There might be other forces out there or other organizations that want to do the opposite of what Prodigium wants to do. And maybe those organizations were built by other monsters. Maybe the monsters don't all have the same agendas. Maybe they want very different things. Maybe some want to bring the evil into the world while others want to protect the world from it. And that's the juice. That's where you get your conflict.
So we're really going through this fast, but the concept is a team of monsters, but all of these monsters are, most of them are thinkers. They're doing what they're doing for a reason. The Invisible Man is a scientist that developed that theorem for a reason. He wanted to sell it, make money, and so forth. So he's got his own motivations. Dracula is certainly not, probably not going to be a character that cares about the good over evil concept, you know? So why would that character be on the team? Or maybe he wouldn't be. Maybe that'd be one the team is trying to subdue. So, and who's on the team versus who's not? And once they garner a person on the team, will they be able to turn, let's say, Frankenstein into, that would be one that I would think they could turn to the intellect, the original writing of Frankenstein's intellectual person in this grotesque body.
A man about town.
Exactly.
A young Frankenstein.
Maybe they could turn him into a character that fights for good. Does any of that, you see how we're getting into a little more of even more than the Avengers did? There's more concepts behind these characters?
Yes, I can see that. Hopefully it works. I mean, I don't know. It's a real stretch.
It is. It has to. I think I agree with you, though. Of course, it sounds great. It's got to be done right.
Right.
Now, should there be any humor in it? Listen to the Avengers, just a little clip. You know, the Avengers, the most successful team of all time right now in comics and, of course, in cinema.
Big man in a suit of armor. Take that off. What are you?
Genius, billionaire, playboy, philanthropist.
Director Fury, the Council has made a decision.
I recognize the Council has made a decision, but given that it's a stupid-ass decision, I've elected to ignore it.
I have an army.
We have a Hulk.
You have no idea what you're dealing with.
Shakespeare in the Park?
Doth mother know you weareth her drapes?
So I think the problem with the dog universe is they don't have Robert Downey Jr. I mean, that's the... You tell me, what is the secret, if you can define it, to the success of the Avengers?
Wow. Well, I don't know if I can answer that in one sentence, but a lot had to do with the writing and the acting and the actors they chose and the humor. Yeah. I mean, so, but you know, if you go back to the comic books, there was humor in the comic books. In this the Universal Monster realm, other than the Young Frankenstein movie, there was little or actually no humor in it. So,
well, Abbott Costello, but yeah, I mean,
That was, it was supposed to be a comedy,
right?
But if you're just talking about the pure monsters themselves,
right?
Was there humor in the Mummy movie that just came out?
No, you're right. And so that's the thing; they're taking it very seriously,
and that might not be a bad thing either.
Right? There's no humor in The Godfather.
Right.
You know what I mean? Doesn't have to be humor, but to define the success of something like this, which is maybe a parody or characters that are certainly never going to exist, maybe you do need some humor. I don't know. I think it's very interesting to hear or think about that the Avenger franchise, Marvel, was very smart, I think, in developing movies first individually of these, all the characters, not just one or two, all of them, before they all appeared in a movie together.
Right.
Even Ant-Man, it didn't appear in the Avengers, the third Avenger movie, but...
They're completely modeling this over the Marvel formula?
Yes, I think so. They want to examine, I shouldn't say completely, but my point is they want to take a look at how that was successful and make sure that they do the same thing with the Mummy, Frankenstein, all the monsters, and have them all have their own standalone movies before they combine. Yeah. On the other hand, I it sounds to me like they're going to be a lot of, you're going to see two or three characters per movie.
The biggest challenge they're going to have is trying to make these monsters into good guys and doing something positive, because you talk about changing the way Frankenstein looks and how you can't mess with tradition. I mean, they're messing with the whole story.
Well, you just made a great point. I have to say to you, and maybe I presented it in somewhat the wrong way, there's no guarantee, and they've clearly said this, there's no guarantee that these teams and this stuff that's going to happen is for the good. Presidio's claimed intention by Dr. Jekyll, who turns into Mr. Hyde, right, is to do something for good. But what's Dr. Jekyll's good? Look what he did. He had a serum on himself and made himself a monster. So we're not necessarily going down a road where these people are pure angels. Right. So I think you hit upon something that is quite interesting and probably what they're struggling with and will make the series interesting. Anyway, we'll be back on Everything Old is New Again. Oh boy, there's something fun. The monsters. There you go. Now, should they go down the road of, you mentioned it, and it's interesting, should they go down the road of comedy or even a chuckle here and there in these movies? They're based upon a series that every one of these movies is, you're right, are so incredibly serious. What should they do with comedy?
I don't know. I think it depends on... It depends on the monster that they're doing it for. So I think there are certain monsters you might be able to inject a little...
I think Invisible Man, you probably could do some funny things.
Or even some camp a little bit to it, maybe, like Dracula. I mean, it's been so overdone.
Right.
Maybe you can sort of wink at the overuse of Dracula, the Dracula character,
right,
and sort of inject that in the film somewhere. But, you know, for the most part, look, these are monsters. They're scary, and I don't think you can inject humor without sort of pulling the rug out from under what you're trying to do.
But you could do a nod, maybe.
Right.
Like they did in Spider-Man. I think it was the second one, where Aunt May is in the hospital and she turns to Peter and says, "You don't look too good, and you're not Superman, you know, after all." And we, as the audience, know that he's Spider-Man.
Right.
And she's saying,
"You
know, you're not Superman after all." It's sort of like, tongue in cheek, and it's not affecting the story, but it gives you a little bit of a nod.
Or in Iron Man, when they had the wedding and the background, the orchestra was playing the theme music from the Iron Man 1966 cartoon that was on TV.
Right.
And unless you were a real fan, you just didn't get it. But if you were a fan, you were like, "Oh, that is so cool that they actually thought of that
and
put it in the movie."
So if you go back and maybe pull out some of these things, behind the scenes, just little quirky things. Maybe that, but it's not going to make the movie a success or not. But it's going to, you know, all these little things add
right
to your experience, and you put this, you know, smile on your face for a moment. I don't know. All right, well, we'll investigate more on Everything Old is New Again, talking about the Universal Dark Universe, and certainly our Dark Universe can be tapped into anytime you like on everythingoldisnewagain.biz. Everythingoldisnewagain.biz. If you're looking to communicate with us, please feel free to do so on oldnewagain@aol.com. It's oldnewagain@aol.com. We'll be right back right after this.
Now, back to America's entertainment pop culture talk show, Everything Old is New Again, with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
Find something? Animal tracks.
Whoever is bitten by a werewolf and lives becomes a werewolf himself.
Oh, don't hand me that. You're just wasting your time.
The wolf bit you, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he did. I killed Bela. I killed Richardson. If I stay here any longer, you can't tell who'll be next.
Ah, maybe you and everything old is...
Poor Richardson.
Good old Richardson.
Never saw it coming.
Everything Old is New Again here, diving into the Universal Dark Universe, and that was the Lon Chaney Jr. Wolfman 1941. Just playing some clips here of the original to show you the gravitas. These movies, I mean, I can't emphasize enough, in the 30s and 40s, these monster movies were Star Wars. These were, I'm not going to say Godfather, but almost that way. They were top of the line. The actors were the top of the line actors of all.
Yeah, because they were fresh. No one saw them before. It was a brand new concept, right? Even going to the movies was a new concept. So, yeah, it was huge. But it's always been a real challenge to sort of bring that back and recapture the magic
right
of what happened.
Now, but I think what you make a good point is, to recapture the magic, you do need to have the gravitas of actors of our day that are substantial.
Yes.
And I think Alex Kurtzman touches upon that right now, just to see, would you rather play a superhero, would you rather play one of these monsters, and if so, why?
Look at it from their point of view, okay? You can play a superhero, pretty, you know, square-jawed superhero, flaws that are interesting but often not wildly deep, or you can play a character in which the assumption is that the character will be broken, damaged, violent, upset, scary, and there is no expectation that the character will be fixed by the end, because if they were fixed, they wouldn't be monsters anymore.
Yes, no.
But if I was an actor, no, that would not be interesting to me.
Really?
Because it's sort of like you're playing a one-note kind of deal. Like, is there any growth? Is there any change in the character?
Oh, well, that's what he's saying. I think maybe he's saying the Avengers, for example, I don't know, take the Hulk. We know his struggle, and it's one-dimensional in some ways. He, you know, he doesn't want to become the Hulk. He destroys things. It's,
yeah, at least,
you know,
there's a little conflict.
Okay,
there.
But now, right, so now you got Frankenstein. Frankenstein doesn't want to be the Frankenstein monster. He's an intellectual. He's trying to do something good, but he's not until, I guess we're going to, he's got a dichotomy there, the way it was. It's going to be, let's back up. In the, it's Frankenstein's tough, because in the movies, he was not intellectual. In the book, he was intellectual.
Right.
So where are they going to go with that to begin with?
Yeah.
But my point is that there's a lot of depth, I think, to why these characters, why the Wolfman's doing what he's doing.
There has to be a lot of depth to the character, and there has to be a lot of money for the actor to do it. That's really what it comes down to.
And I'll tell you, you know where the universe, you know, this is where the universe should go. They should make a deal with Marvel or DC, but I think Marvel. And once this is done and you've got your team assembled of the monsters from Universal, I think it's time to have a movie of the Avengers versus the monsters from the Universal Dark Universe.
I'd pay to see that.
That would be something,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
Let's discuss that a little bit. Think about it. You've got, just to go through the characters, right? You have Captain America, Thor, Hulk, Iron Man, Hawkeye.
Spider-Man.
He's not really in it, though, especially in the latest movie. Sorry, he turned him down, so he's not in the Avengers.
Okay.
Spectacular Spider-Man.
All right.
Scarlet Witch, Ant-Man, Black Panther, and Black Widow.
Okay.
So that's basically, you should put in your mind the team.
Okay.
Now, the team for the Universal Dark Universe: Jekyll and Hyde, Dracula, the Mummy, Frankenstein, Wolfman, Creature from the Black Lagoon, the Invisible Man, Phantom of the Opera, Hunchback of Notre Dame.
So what are you saying? It would be like a battle royale?
Battle royale.
All of these people in a ring? Is
yes.
that what you're imagining?
Well, in a big field, you know, or hopefully not in a big city. They would destroy the city. But, yeah, you know how they do these? The Avengers are always up against these big foes, and all of them right. are fighting in the battlefield.
So some kind of, like, humongous octagon that's sort of enclosed, but with enough space for them to move around.
Yeah, I don't think it would be – so anything could enclose them, per se, but I don't think you have to because they're going to go at each other.
Okay. So, this is a battle royale. This isn't, like, one-on-one kind.
Exactly.
Okay.
So now you've got, like, think about it. The leaders. The leader of the team would be what? Captain America and Dr. Jekyll, I would say.
I guess. But let me just say this. These monsters you listed, they're not very mobile. They can't get around.
They're slow.
And they don't have superpowers like Iron Man or Thor.
I disagree.
I mean, Iron Man just has to take his little laser beam thing and he can kill them all.
He's going to kill the Dracula? You can't kill Dracula, but for a stake through his heart.
Okay, so you kill everyone but Dracula.
No,
and then it's like
the mummy doesn't get killed either. Well, how do you kill a mummy? Do we even know how do you kill the mummy? We don't even know it. It's got to be some chance. They could use their brains and go through it.
Okay, but you can kill Jekyll and Hyde. You can kill
all right, but let me take Jekyll and Hyde. Let's take one at a time. Jekyll and Hyde is as strong as the Hulk. So if you're going to kill the Hyde, you can kill the Hulk, so to speak. Put them battle royale against each other. Sorry, take it. Go ahead, next one. Who are we going to kill?
All I'm saying is one of these superheroes with some kind of super laser beam can wipe out 3/4 of the monster team instantaneously.
No way. The Wolfman is very fast also, by the way.
Uh-huh.
Dracula can fly, is fast as anything when he's any of these incarnations he can turn into. You've got the Invisible Man. They can't find him. The Invisible Man is such a tremendous advantage. It's incredible. Phantom of the Opera could sing like the opera as it's going on, as the fight's going on. The Phantom of the Opera will just
sing a Broadway
song.
My point is that in 5 seconds, you can wipe out half of the monster team.
Who's going to do it? Show me who you got here. Just Iron Man with a repulsor ray?
Yeah, so he can... Sure, him and I don't know what these other people do, the Black Panther, I don't know. But anyway, if you just had Iron Man in there, right? Just Iron Man with a repulsor ray. So Jekyll and Hyde, dead. Frankenstein, dead. Creature from Black Lagoon, Phantom of the Opera, Hunchback, all dead within seconds.
Now, I would send the mummy up against Iron Man. He has all these incarnations.
But my point is, so you've wiped out half the team already.
Before Iron Man could do any of this, the mummy, you have to have a plan of attack. The mummy goes in and attacks Iron Man with all that sand, envelops him with the sand.
Because the mummy moves so fast.
Did you see the movie? But
he flies. I don't think it's...
You've not seen the mummy movies.
This is a no contest.
No way. You got to call us. You got to write us on this one. Everything old is new again, .biz, or go to oldnewagain@AOL.com. I agree.
What's Dracula going to do? He's going to suck the blood out of everybody? I mean, what is he going to do?
Dracula is evil. Incarnate, he can do that. He can bite Captain America and lickety split Captain America's on his team. How do you like that? How's Captain America going to stop Dracula from biting him?
Doesn't Captain America, he has that hood, he's got the cowl, right? How do you get in there to really, you know, get a good chunk of flesh?
It's going to be tough. Creature from the Black Lagoon, kind of useless because it'd have to be a battlefield in water, so that I can agree that he kind of is going to go down. Phantom of the Opera, I don't really see is doing much. As I say, I think he just sings the theme song to the fight. You know how they all have these operatic, you know, in like Star Wars, all that operatic music when they're fighting?
Maybe he can hit a real high note and shatter. He could shatter Captain America's shield or something.
Well, maybe he can have the Black Widow talk to the Black Widow and because she's got so much angst and anxiety, maybe he can. And she was an artist; she was a ballerina. Maybe he can mold her into his Christine.
Right, so they're gonna. So in the middle of the battle, they're gonna have this psychological discussion.
Yes, wait a minute, hold on.
He's gonna.
I just heard you talk. You have a great singing voice.
Can I see you privately? Well, I think you have some issues, and I can defeat you this way.
But wait a minute. Your singing voice is tremendous. Could you yell for help one more time and then just, you know, get involved with that, and he'd turn her into...
You know what would drive the mummy crazy? How about Ant-Man getting under some of those bandages, right? That's all you need.
That would be trouble.
The mummy would
be scratching like a lunatic.
The mummy would... He would grab Hulk's fist and just, like, pound himself to death with it to get away.
Well, the only thing I would say is that I would get a kick out of seeing Frankenstein go up against somebody like Thor, you know, Because Frankenstein's supposed to be pretty strong, isn't he? I mean, where are we going with Frankenstein?
But if Thor throws his thing, his mallet, his hammer, Frankenstein doesn't stand a chance.
Yeah, let me see. Does anybody on this list be able to qualify to pick up Thor's hammer? I don't think so. There's no good
I think
souls.
You're marching this Universal team into certain complete defeat.
No, I think you're right. Iron Man and Thor are a problem, but the rest are not. So you got to focus on Iron Man and Thor immediately with Dracula, Frankenstein, and the mummy.
By the way, what does Hawkeye do? Other than what does he like insult people? Is that that's not the guy from MASH?
Yeah, he's going to be the 40. The what is it? 4099th? What the heck was it?
MASH. What is he? Is his superpower? Is he trades barbs?
Yeah,
is that how it gets you?
Because he could go up against the Hunchback in Notre Dame, and the Hunchback could just look for some help to get this. Could you operate on me? Could you get rid of this thing on my back? Because the Hunchback is not an animal, right? I think it's all interesting, fun discussion that we're having on Everything Old is New Again. We're going to come back and have a visit from these monsters and see what they think about all of this. Everything Old. Theme to the Avengers.
This is Everything Old is New Again, America's entertainment pop culture talk show with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
Count Dracula sleeps in this coffin, but rises every night at sunset. Dracula can change himself at will into a vampire bat, flying about the countryside.
Bat! Bat!
Yes, master.
We're back here on Everything Old is New Again with David Cohen, Douglas Viviani discussing and pulling back the veil, if you will, to see what would happen in this rather intellectual investigation that we got involved with just last section of the Avengers versus the Dark Knight. I guess they're calling the Universal Dark Monsters.
Yes.
Who you think would win? Who wouldn't win? I'm not sure we got an answer to that because you're on one side of the fence, I'm on the other.
Yeah, my answer was clear. It was definitely the Avengers. No contest.
You really think so?
Yes.
And I really think that you kind of missed the mark there. I think there's a problem with that discussion. I think where I stand is right here. These gentlemen rule the day.
Don't you hear me? Give my creation. Fly!
Sky means business.
There he is. Renfield. He's on the field of battle after it's all said and done, and he's just kind of taking the flies off of all the dead Avengers' bodies.
I have two questions. One is, can you stop that? Thank you. And number two, is it really fair that you get to sit by all the sound effects? Because it enhances your argument. I have nothing here.
I don't get sound effects. This is a natural discussion. It's coming out of nowhere.
But you're hitting the...
And Renfield.
It's alive,
right here.
And Renfield. I mean, it makes it really sound like you've got a stronger case than I do. That's all I'm saying.
It makes it sound that way because I do have a... who's this? Who is that? Could you get the door for me?
Yeah.
Who is that?
It's the Universal Monsters.
Here they are. Looks like we've got
Frankenstein, right? And the Invisible Man. We got the Mummy and whoa, there's Dracula.
Dracula's here too. Wow.
Come on in, guys.
A little scary. Hey, guys, you heard the last part of our show, I presume. Frankenstein. Wow, Frankenstein's got a lot to say. Holy smokes!
If I might, Doug, this is the Invisible Man.
Right. What the heck happened here? Invisible Man, when you talk, you have to play the organ, huh? All right, can you play a little softer?
Yes.
Right, there you go.
Is that better?
Very good. Thanks. It sets the stage for. I know Dracula needs to have that music wherever he goes.
So we've had a discussion, and I was selected as the one to interpret what the Frankenstein monster would be saying. He does not like to be referred to as a monster. We'll get that out there right now.
What are we going
to
call him?
Is entity okay? Okay, right. We're going to go with entity. That's fine.
That's a yes.
Yeah, so sometimes the vocal inflections...
I'm trying to learn the language. I just want to,
Feel free to just step on my lines. Sometimes the vocal inflections of the entity are indicative of his feelings, as with any human, right? Or non-human? He's saying get on with it. Okay, let's go.
How much time do we have? We have a good 7 minutes here to visit with these guys. So let's do that. Let's see. I really would like to know, Frankenstein, your point of view, where if you really listen to what the boys was talking about, and we were talking about last, little ways back, is that your your viewpoint has been represented on the screen pretty good, where we try to figure out that you're an intellectual and you're stuck in this body that's not so working so well, and it's corrupting you, but we're understanding... Oh,
he just wanted to know when you were going to stop talking.
we want to know, what do you think of your representation in this series? He's got a lot to say. Hopefully, I guess he translates.
Yes, he's very vocal. What he's saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, entity, but what he's saying is that he likes the new representation because it does shed light on the better nature of his personality, that he's not a bad person, or ex-person, if you will, but that he means well, and anything that he does that seems to be with evil intent is actually not.
Well, the question is, I appreciate that, and that's nice to hear, but do you have an opinion on whether your team, first of all, would you be on the team? Secondly, would your team defeat the Avengers in this battle royale? Oh, I got Frankenstein to laugh. He's got Frankenstein to laugh.
He says it's no contest.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. And that's good to hear.
Oh, no, that's the mummy. Just so you know, your listeners, that's the mummy also chiming in. And what the mummy is saying I don't know where your iPhone is. We will find it, okay? Wow. But let's keep this relevant to the show.
Yes, Ant-Man. There was an Ant-Man reference last couple seconds ago about how Ant-Man would get into the mummy's, like,
so what? Ask the mummy, what does he think?
So, mummy, that's what I want to know. Mummy, do you think that would be a valid point that David made last section, talking about how the Ant-Man would defeat you?
Right, okay. So, we've got it. So, what the mummy is basically saying is that David is way off.
Really?
Yes, you're way off because the mummy's a non-entity, so Ant-Man getting underneath the bandages would really have no effect on the mummy because he's not ticklish, he's not bothered or pestered by something like that.
This is nonsense. I keep hearing all this nonsense. I want to talk. I have my point of view. My music is playing. I'm here. I am Dracula. I'm the man about town. Please, I would like to have my point of view. I don't even know what I have to
say.
Sure,
no, come on.
I am the Prince of Darkness. I could take these fools. I would never be on a team with these fools. I've tried to be on a team with these fools before. Have you seen the movies? Abbott Costello defeated me. Me, of all people, Abbott Costello?
That was weak. Yeah.
So I'm not getting involved with Frank and these other boobs. They're miserable fools. I would never be on a team. I could defeat these Avengers by myself.
Wow, by yourself?
I got Father Death on my side. The two of us, and Father Death would take that sickle and just put it on that Hulk, and Hulk would shrivel down and be into the Netherlands in no time.
Why would the Hulk go back to the Netherlands?
Not the Netherlands. The Netherlands.
So
sometimes if I get him on this silly plane of they call Earth.
Just the thought of the Hulk walking around the streets of Denmark is pretty funny. But so Dracula, you could take these guys on by yourself. That's your point.
I could, except for that Iron Man. That Iron Man's a little bit of a problem. I can't get my teeth through that metal. But so I'd have to have my father again. Father Death, just hit him with a sickle and he'd be done.
Okay, so you can't do it by yourself, is what you're saying.
I can do it. Please, I can do it by myself. Please. I got an ego's best. I'm the Prince of Darkness. Don't you understand what I'm talking about?
You know, your voice it's a good voice. Don't get me wrong. It's not how it's been interpreted in the past.
This is the problem. This Bela Lugosi and these fools on the screen, they all think they could imitate what I'm about. I am. P.S. Why do you think I got into the dark side to begin with? I was made fun of as a kid. Do you know that, right?
I can voice.
They thought I was Pumpkinhead or something. I don't know who that guy is. They keep talking Pumpkinhead.
So you don't need any help. You could do this by yourself. This is a no-brainer for you.
It's a no-brainer. I would defeat and destroy every single one of them.
Okay. And no problem. How do your teammates feel?
I don't have teammates. That's the whole point. My motivation is to get rid of these fools.
I thought you guys were tight. That's
they can clean up after. I tried it in the 40s. Just see what happened with the Abaxella meets Frankenstein. Have you seen it?
So what the entity and the mummy are saying here is that they're blaming the Abbott and Costello fiasco on Dracula. Dracula lost the contest on their behalf, and they've never gotten over that.
If you two fools were alive, I'd kill you right now. If you had an ounce of blood in you, I'd take it from you right now, but you don't. So that's why I'm really fed up with these two.
I love the trash talk by Dracula. It's great.
I'm absolutely fed up. I'm going to the battlefield right now. I want to see what's going to happen. My view of the battlefield ending is different than yours. All I know is this guy, this Phantom of the Opera, was involved with the Black Widow.
Right. That's what Doug had said, right?
Yeah, I was talking. Remember, I had the idea was the Black Widow was artistic and maybe had some vocal qualities, and we were trying to figure out what would the Phantom of the Opera actually do on the battlefield?
Sing someone to death?
But he'd be good. He would turn, maybe turn the Black Widow. Does that make any sense to the dark side?
These gentlemen really—they're big Black Widow fans. You got
it
them
seems
excited.
Like the Black Widow is a fan. We go, let's take a look. We get a little close and see. Let's get to the battlefield right now, all of us. Let's take a look. What's happening here? What is this? Oh, I hear some music. Mm-hmm. Look at.
Oh, there she is around the corner. Take a look around the tree.
Oh, she sings like an angel.
Don't say angel. She seems like a minion to me.
Who's that with her?
Oh, that is him. She's singing nicely.
And she brought a band.
That's it. Everything goes new again. We see the end of it all.
So that's the Phantom taught her how to sing.
The Phantom turned her to the dark side. That might be the... Listen to her. That might be the deciding factor in the Battle Royale of the Avengers versus Universal Monsters.
What a weird, unexpected, and uninteresting ending.
We'll be back right after this on Everything Old Is New Again. Next week, you can enjoy some more pop culture at your fingertips.